Kedushas Levi for Parshas Vayikra, and then we'll do a little Kedushas Levi for the Yom Tov of Pesach. It'll probably take us 3 or 4 shiurim to do all the Kedushas Levi on Pesach, so we'll see. I'm going to try to get in at least 3 shiurim. Vayikra El Moshe. Everyone knows that the aleph of the word Vayikra is small. Vayikra aleph Zeira. Zeir means small. Vayikra has a small aleph. Yivu'ar al derech shebi'arnu, ve'al Moshe amar alei al Hashem. Pasuk says in Mishpatim that Moshe was told, ascend to Hashem. Ki kisha adam osa mitzvah, because when a person does a mitzvah, zeha mitzvah osa roshem lamala. When a Jew does a mitzvah, it makes a mark above, on the heavens. Ve'zeh ma'or oso lasos tamid ratzon habore b'zeha mitzvah. And when you do a mitzvah, and you impact the heavens, well, needless to say, like we were learning in Lekut Amarim, that there's always a give and take. There's always a mekablin dain min dain. So when you impact the heavens, it bounces back to you. Which is really something we've spoken about in the past. It's really the secret of mitzvah goreres mitzvah, how every mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, how schar mitzvah mitzvah, that the reward for the mitzvah is the fact that it creates the potential for another mitzvah. And basically, every good thing leads to another good thing. Which means that as long as you can get it going, as long as you can get it started, hopefully one good deed leads to another, and the second one leads to more, and to more, and to more. So when a person, again, does a mitzvah, he makes a mark above. And that gives him, right, now that he knows, wow, my mitzvah impacted the heavens, again, it has a hashpa on him. He feels that his actions matter, because they do. And it inspires him to go further. In one sentence, the Berditchever tells us what was Moshe's greatest desire. In one sentence, very kedai to underline this line. Hinei Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom, what's Moshe's desire? Ratzon shalo haya, lasos ula'alos tamid el Hashem. Moshe's greatest desire was to constantly ascend, to be a growing Jew. I've told you many times, being a growing Jew, I think, is one of the most important principles of being a Jew. To be a person who's constantly striving to grow. It's a Gemara in Sukkah. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says to his son, Re'isi b'nei aliyah v'heim mu'atin. So I told you once, a diuk from one of the tells of Rosh Yeshiva. It doesn't say b'nei ma'ala. B'nei ma'ala means a person who's on top. B'nei aliyah means a growing person. A person who at every stage of his life wants to grow. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that is very rare. You see people, Shana Aleph, they want to grow. Shana Bet, they really want to grow. And then they get to Ayo, and hopefully they're still striving to grow. But no, they're juggling other things, so maybe their Ratzon is not as strong. Again, it's unique when you see those individuals who are constantly, constantly, constantly growing. When you see a guy who works as a lawyer, but you see that he's a big Mavakish, that he doesn't become consumed by his profession, but you see that he's always steiging, he's always trying to learn, he's always trying to grow. And he's 40 years old, and he's got some children now. He's married, he has a lot of responsibilities, and he's still growing. That's the most beautiful thing. You see an alter yid, a 70-year-old Jew, who's still striving to be better. He doesn't feel like, you know, I figured out kind of who I am at this point. He's always, always, that's amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life is still described as Vayelech Moshe, he's a holy, he's still going. It's unbelievable. So Moshe's greatest desire, says the Berditchever, the Ratzon Shalo Haya, Moshe Rabbeinu's Ratzon was, La'asos V'la'alos Tamid El Hashem. To do and to constantly grow closer to Hashem. Now, what you want is what you get. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond to your true Ratzonos. So if you're just saying on the surface, oh yeah, I want to be a Tzaddik, we learned a piece like that in Tzav Aziris. The Piazesser told us, if you stop someone and ask them, would you like to be a Tzaddik? Yeah, why not? Not a bad thing. So that's not a ratzon to be a tzaddik. The ratzon to be a tzaddik means I'm working on becoming a tzaddik. Everyone wouldn't mind being a tzaddik, just like everyone wouldn't mind making a lot of money if it just came their way. But how many people want to work? How many people want to be able to be those poor Jews, who sold, scraps in the garment district to get themselves started, and then eventually became very successful people? Everyone just wants to get there. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to just get there. Moshe wanted to constantly be engaged in the process of getting there. That's a very chashuv thing. As the Zohar explains, Moshe went up to Hashem. It doesn't just mean that Moshe went up the mountain. doesn't just mean Moshe went up to get the Torah. It means that the defining characteristic of Moshe Rabbeinu was he was a constantly Allah El Elokim, constantly going up to Hashem. So again, if that's what you really want, not like, yeah, casually, like, yeah, I wouldn't mind. If that's what you really want, if a Jew really wants something, as we have a statement, it's not really a chazal, but it's brought by many kadmonim, early sources, right? That ein davar omed b'fnei ha-ratzon. That nothing stands in front of a true ratzon. If you really want to get there, you'll get there. And if you're casual about it, you don't really care, and you think passively, you know, if I get there, it's okay, and if I don't, it's also okay, then you're not going to get there. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that if you want to get there, you have to really be striving to get there. You have to really want it. So again, that which he desired to get closer to Hashem, because he wanted to get close to Hashem, that became his reality. Again, the Radisha was explaining it in a spiritual sense, but it's true also just in a totally rational sense. When you want to become something and you really want it, that's how you get there, because you're working at it. There's an interesting study. Anyone here read Malcolm Gladwell books? Elliot probably reads them. Yeah, you read them? So you know the one where I forget which book it's in, where Malcolm Gladwell talks about when he realized that the players who make it to the NHL, their birthdays are the first, that's an outliers?
Yeah.
Right, so he talks about how the players who become successful, and he talks about how the Beatles became successful, essentially it's what he calls his 10,000 hour rule, which is what? The people who practice a lot become the experts. There's not so much a natural talent. Now, obviously, if you're like 4'8", you're probably not going to make it to the NBA, no matter how much you practice. Right? But if you have a decent build and you work at it, the thing that's going to separate the person who gets there and the person who doesn't get there is just the person who has more opportunity to try, to do. Talk about how the Beatles used to play in these clubs from like 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. And a band that practices a lot gets good. The hockey players that were born earlier in the calendar year were a little bigger when they start, because they put these skates on these kids, you know, when they're like 3 years old, right? Daniel Borden, were you skating when you were like 3 years old?
Yes.
Yeah? Binyamin also? I just found out you're good at hockey, by the way. This was, you had a big goal recently? I heard about that. He's so quiet, he doesn't say anything about it. Yeah, so when these kids are playing, they're 3 years old, they're 4 years old, they're 5 years old, so the kid who's like born in January versus the kid who's born in December, the kid who's born in January is going to be, at that age, is going to be significantly bigger than the kid who was born in December. So he's bigger, he's a little stronger. So when the scouts come and say, oh, this kid's really good, let's give him a chance to play at the next level. Let's give him a chance to play at the next level. And essentially, you look at the birth dates of the hockey players who make it, they're all born in the first half of the year. And it's not because the kids who are born in January are better at hockey, it just means the kids who were born in January had more opportunities to play hockey. Because at a younger age, they looked better, so they were invited to more tournaments and to more this and to more that. And the more you practice, if you play an instrument for 10,000 hours, you'll be an expert. There's no, you know. Again, some people have, you know, a perfect pitch or a good sense of music. But if you work at something, you'll get there. So Moshe Rabbeinu was born the natural, you know, genius, the smartest Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu was a mavakish. He had a ratzon la'alos el Hashem. And a person who wants to get there and is working on it and is really be'emes trying to get there will get there. V'zeu ve'el Moshe amar alei el Hashem. So the Radishver says, in Parshas Mishpatim Perachov Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, when it says Moshe went up to Hashem, you know why Moshe went up to Hashem? Because he wanted to go up to Hashem. If you want it, you'll get it also. I told you, the Rebbe Rashab, when he was about 4 years old, came crying to his father. 4 or 5 years old. He came home one day from cheder, and he was crying. And he said, what happened? You know, I got beat up on the playground today. What happened? So he says, we learned in Chumash today that Vayera alav Hashem, that Hashem appeared to Avraham. So I said, what are you crying about? He said, how come Hashem doesn't appear to me? How come Hashem never appeared to me? He was crying. He felt so bad. So his father said to him, listen, Avraham was 99 years old. He had been working on this for a long time. And if you work on it for a long time, you'll get there also. The person has to want it. You have to cry over it. It has to matter to you. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets the invitation. El Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem. Moshe hears a voice telling him, ascend the mountain. You know why? Because that's what he wants. And if you want it, you'll also get invited up the mountain. But if you don't want it, you're not going to get there. Zeh Shehayi Ritzono Lalos El Hashem. That which Moshe desired to go up to Hashem. Ze'omer lo alei el Hashem. He was worthy of getting the call, come up to Hashem. And in accordance with one's desire to get there, he gets invited in. Ve'zeu ha-remez ba'alef ze'ira. And perhaps that's what's hinted to in the small aleph of Vayikra. Now this is the part of the piece that we need to try to understand together. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, midaso haya shaya anov mikol adam. Moshe was the humblest of men. Ve'lakach ha-alef ze'ira. Therefore the aleph is small. Lirmoz al-midaso. Hinting to his midah, hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu's character trait of humility. Ad kan the piece. So what's the Berditcher saying in those last two lines? Nusonani, what do we learn in the Gra on the Haggadah this week? What does Aleph mean? Aleph means to learn. Right? Pasuk says in Iyov, Alefcha Chachma, I'll teach you wisdom. Right? Aleph means to teach or to learn, to understand. What does the small Aleph have to do with Moshe's humility? A person who thinks that he knows everything doesn't have a desire to grow. The person who's humbled and feels that in terms of my knowledge, my aleph, my learning, my understanding is small, is the type of person who keeps saying, Hashem, please, bring me up the mountain. I want to get there. And when you act like that with humility, to be a mavakish, who feels that I don't know anything yet, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps inviting you up the mountain to learn more. If you're a Baal Gaiva, and you think you know everything, so you don't listen to others, you're not willing to absorb the teachings from others. So the small aleph of Moshe, in the word Vayikra, is why he got the call. He got the Vayikra because he was humble, because he was willing to learn, because he always felt that there's more to grow. That's a theme that we've seen many times in the Kedushas Levi, and we're going to see it again right now. For the sake of time, let's skip the next piece. It's a little bit deep, a little bit challenging. Let's go to the last piece in the Parsha. There's only three pieces in this week's Parsha. We'll go to the third piece in Vayikra. Vim nefesh ki techte v'asasa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem asher lo se'asena v'gomer v'ashem. The context of the pasuk, just so you know, in the fifth parak, in the fifth parak of Vayikra, it talks about, the whole parsha talks about karbanos, right? But this pasuk is a reference to the asham taloi. What is an asham taloi? Well, an asham means a guilt offering. Taloi means dependent. It's taloi on what? Taloi means something's hanging. Safik. If you do an avera bishogeg, you bring a karban chatas. You violate Shabbos by accident, you bring a karban chatas. You violate Shabbos on purpose, you're in big trouble. Karis. If you are warned, we're going to stone you to death. Not light things. What if you don't know if you violated the Isser? A suffix of a shogeg. So if you figure out eventually that you in fact did an avera b'shogeg, so then you bring a karban chatas. If you're not sure, you bring what's called an asham taloi. Right, the asham, the guilt offering for one who's taloi, who's hanging in the balance. He's not sure of his guiltiness. Okay, that's the context of this pasuk. V'im nefesh ki sechta v'asa achas b'kol mitzvos Hashem asher lo se'asena. If a person sins and he does one of the mitzvos Hashem, one of the commands of Hashem that one should not do, meaning he violated a lo sasei, and the pasuk says, and he doesn't know. What does it mean he doesn't know? He's not sure. Says the pasuk v'ashem. So then he's guilty. He's guilty in the sense that he needs to have this asham taloi, this karban that's going to hold him over to protect him from punishment until they clarify the situation. Okay, the asham taloi actually is more expensive than the regular chatas. And that's a reminder to us that sometimes the things that we're not sure if we did, we have to take more seriously than the things that for sure we did. Why? Because if I for sure did the avera, then I feel bad. If I'm not sure I did the avera, I can convince myself I didn't do the avera. So you know what? Bring a bigger karban. So you don't excuse yourself as, it's not a big deal, I probably didn't do it. Maybe you did do it. And because you're not, because of that suffix, we hold you more accountable. So you don't give yourself a free pass. But the Berditcher focuses, again, on that theme we were just talking about, how a person who thinks he knows doesn't know, and the person who knows that he doesn't know, a person who wants to grow, is the type of person who Hashem is looking out for and is interested in. Ki hinei yadua yoser masha adam obed es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yoser hu be'enei atzmo kolo nechshav neged gedulas habor yisbarach. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, who we were just describing, with the small aleph, feeling unworthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always wanting to get closer, not feeling like he's there, the more a person truly serves Hashem, the more he should feel humbled by that experience. We've said many times in the past from Nassim Gestetner, who was a god who lived in Bnei Brak, passed away a number of years ago. I had the Swiss to meet him one time. He writes in his Sefer, and others have the similar concept. He writes in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, called Lahoros Nasan. He says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu become the biggest Talmud Chacham? It's directly connected to Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. Because the more humble you make yourself, the more you get to realize that, he really says, let me say it the other way around. He says it the other way around, and then we'll say it this way after. He says, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu knew so much made him the most humble. What does that mean? The more you understand Hashem, if you don't understand Hashem very well, so you're like, you think, like, yeah, I can kind of get it. The more you delve deeply into the sugya, you see that Hashem is so deep, you feel so humble. The more you get it, the more you understand it, the bigger you see that it is, the more you feel, you know, infinitesimally small compared to it. So because Moshe saw Hashem so up close, he felt so humbled by that experience. So the Berditcher was saying the same thing is true here. The more a person learns, the more you see how big Torah is, and the more humble you become. Not the more gaivadik you become. If you really see how big it is, you realize how much there is to really know. Like I said yesterday, listening to a shech to give us a halacha shir is more of a musar shir than a halacha shir for many of us. Just to see there's so much out there that I don't know. It should be a very humbling experience. So Rav Nosson Gishtander says, Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Kedushas Levi has this varasa. Kedushas Levi says, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, from the fact that he was like Har Sinai. From his humility, Har Sinai is known as the small mountain. So because Moshe's humble, he's able to acquire Torah. Rav Nosson Gishtander says it goes the other way also. The more you know, the more humbled you become. So that's what he's writing here. Yoser Masha Adam Oved as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more you serve Hashem, Yoser Hu Be'enei Atzmo Kolo Nechshav. The more a person becomes small in his own eyes. Neged Gedulas HaBorias Baruch. In comparison to Hashem. Again, an outsider who doesn't really know anything about Torah, doesn't realize how deep it is, how endless it is, how you can know everything and it's still just a drop. I told you this Medrash one time in Shir HaShirim. It's a scary Medrash. The Medrash says that Rabbi Akiva said about his Torah that if all of the reeds on the sides of the riverbanks were turned into quills, into writing instruments, and all of the water in the world, all the oceans were turned into ink, and every person on planet Earth was sitting and writing my Torah, Rabbi Akiva's Torah, he says they couldn't get the job done. Rabbi Akiva himself knew so much that if you turned, you know, all of the land into parchment and all of the water into ink and all of the blades of grass and reeds into quills, and everyone was just trying to write down the Chidushim of Rabbi Akiva, it was already beyond what the whole world could write down if they sat and just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And Rabbi Akiva said, and what I know compared to what Torah actually is literally like one drop of water from the ocean. So he knew everything and he knew nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything and he says, I'm the humblest of all. I don't know anything. But it's not to make us depressed, God forbid. It's to allow us to realize, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, that God, who's so big, is interested in me. Adon Olam, Asher Malach, B'Terem Kol Yetzir Nivra, Master of the Universe, who created everything. And we go through the praises, we sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then what do we say? And then we say, Rav Shem Shner Fall Hirsch pointed this out, and then we say, Rav Schwab brings it in the Sefer HaChumash, Vehu Keli, he's my God. That massively huge God we just described in Adon Olam, Hu Keli, he's my personal God. Not Elokeinu, plural. Someone said to me this week, it's easy to believe, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu, that Hashem is amongst us. It's much harder to believe Hayesh Hashem Bikirbi. That's a very nice thing to say. It's easy to believe, yeah, Hashem is, you know, he's God, right? No, but that huge God is personally interested in me. Hu Keli, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in the singular, like we heard at Har Sinai. That huge God is interested in me. And the more I get to know him, the more I realize just how big he is, and I feel that much smaller. And I feel humbled by the opportunity to have a relationship with him. It's not supposed to make us depressed. It's supposed to inspire us to keep striving, because it's infinite, and to do so with humility. Not to learn two blad of Gemara and think you're the God of Lador. So look what he writes. He says, Aval kisha adam osa mitzvah v'usover shu oved es Hashem. But when a person does a mitzvah, and then he pats himself on the back, what a tzaddik I am. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Im lamadta Torah harbe, if you learn a lot of tova, learn a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha, don't give yourself credit for that, ki lakachta tzarte, that's what you were created to do. So at best, you did your job. If you lived a life of righteousness, at best, you did your job. Nothing to be gaivadik about. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who has the right to have gaiva, to have pride. Hashem malach geus lavesh. Only Hashem is allowed to wear the cloak of geut, of gaiva, of pride. He has what to be proud of. We have to just humbly do our avodah in this world. So the Berditchever says, when a person does a mitzvah, and now all of a sudden he thinks he's the God of Lador, right? He thinks that, now I served Hashem. Hashem, look what I did for you today. Zeh mitzvah eino nechshav l'klum. That mitzvah becomes worthless. What's ironic is the same Berditcher who's always like all day, every day, telling us like, your mitzvah gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu tanug, nachas ruach. The same Berditcher is also at the same time keeping us bound. We see mamash, you know, opposites within the Torah of the Berditcher. On the one hand, there's no one who loved and believed in Klal Yisrael and turned our Averos into big mitzvahs like the Berditcher. And at the same time, he's telling us, when you do a mitzvah, be careful it doesn't go to your head. Be careful you serve Hashem with the proper humility. And he says, that's the pshat on our pasuk. Look how he reads the pasuk. It's beautiful. V'zeu perish ha-pasuk. V'im nefesh kisechta. If a person does an avera, what's the avera? Keep reading in the pasuk. Klomar matechta. What was the avera that this individual did? Says the pasuk. V'asisa achas mikol mitzvah Hashem. The avera of thinking that you did a mitzvah. The avera that you think, I served Hashem. I'm a big guy now. A chashuv person. People should give me more kavod. You know, why did Yankel get the aliyah and Shul? I should get the aliyah. I did a mitzvah this week. I'm a big shot now. In nefesh kisechta, when a person does the avera of thinking that I truly served Hashem, asher lo se'asena, because you haven't really served Hashem, says the pasuk, ve'ashem, and therefore you're guilty. If you're going to walk up to the gates in Shemayim and say, Rabbona Shalom, let me tell you about all the things I did, and you're bragging about it, so Hashem says, let me tell you about all the things I actually wanted you to do. And let's see which is more, the things that you actually did or the things that you should have done. So don't come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu bragging, look at all these great things I did for you. That's a chait. Im nefesh ki techta, when a person does the avera of thinking, v'asasa achas mikol mitzvah Hashem, asher lo se'asena, you didn't do anything. You think you did a mitzvah, you haven't done anything. V'ashem. Ashem means guilty. But you should also be ashamed. You know, it's like in English, ashamed. You should be embarrassed. Klomar, sha'mitzvah zos yasa lo kalo. That mitzvah, right? That mitzvah has now been negated. That mitzvah should make you humble, and you're bragging about it. For whosoever sha'ovid Hashem karoi? And you think, now you did Hashem a favor. Do you realize what a privilege it is for you to have the opportunity to do a mitzvah? You're bragging about it. V'ashem. And therefore you're guilty. You should be embarrassed. Again, we've seen this theme many times. Anyone remember examples we saw recently? Parshas Parah. If you remember the whole Indian of Parah, a person who's no geya, a person who touches the Parah, he thinks, oh yeah, I'm holding. I'm making contact. You become tummy. How about in Parshas Kisisa? Remember the Berditchever's taich of Pekuf Dalid? Pekuf Dalid means a chisaron. So if a person feels his Pekuf Dalid, if he feels that he's lacking, then Hashem says, then you're doing good. But if you think that you don't have any you know, lack in your life, any void in your life, if you think you're perfect, then God forbid, Hashem says, I'm canceling all of your madrigos. I'm giving you zero credit. The more you try to remember your mitzvahs, the more Hashem forgets the mitzvahs. And the more we forget about our mitzvahs and feel, you know, unworthy of, I'm not asking for schar, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers our mitzvahs. That's a var the Berditchever has by Rosh Hashanah. By Rosh Hashanah, the Berditchever says, we say a lashon in the tefillah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu zocher es hanishkachos. Hashem remembers the forgotten. So we usually think, uh-oh, God remembers those averos that I forgot about. But this says, no, God remembers the mitzvahs you forget about. Why'd you forget about them? You forgot about them because you're not bragging about them. You do your avodah and you go weiter. Not walking, oh look, I'm remembering all the things I did for God. So if you forget, if you're not focused on all your great success, bragging what a great Jew you are, then Hashem remembers those mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs that you remember, right, the ones that you're so focused on, Hashem says, forget it. You're missing the whole point. I didn't give you mitzvahs to become a Baal Gaiva. That's not what I gave you mitzvahs for. Okay, it's very important, it's a little bit harsh, it's hard to hear, but it's a really important idea. Okay, let's turn to the section on Pesach. It's right after Parsha Shmini, so you probably have to turn about a page. There's not a lot of Torahs on next week's Parsha and the week after that. Okay, the Drush LePesach. You see it? You have it? Resh Mem Aleph. Okay, for those who have our official Shir edition. Now, before we start the Drush LePesach, First of all, the drush lePesach is not one long drusha. It's a lot of different drushas. Shorter ideas and some longer ideas. But before we start the drush lePesach, I want to just share with you three things. Okay? I want to remind you of a piece in Parshas Bo that we learned. I want to remind you of a piece in Parshas B'Shalach that we learned. And I want to read you a description of the Berditchever on the Seder night from the Sefer Eser Oros. I told you what the Berditchever looked like when he was basically jumping on the Megillah on Purim. So now listen to what the Berditchever, listen to the Lashonos of what the Berditchever looked like on the night of Pesach. Again, the Sefer is called Eser Oros. Be'es yeshivaso eitzel ha-sedar. When the Berditchever would sit by the Siddarim, by the nights of Pesach, when he would say Matzazu, right, as we say in the Haggadah, Matzazu, Sha'anu Ochlim, when he would say the words Matzazu, his gorer es atzmo tachas ha-shulchan, he would fall to the floor rolling under the table, v'hafach ha-seder, and he would knock over the seder plate, v'ha-ka'aros, the whole table would go flying, v'ha-matzas, the matzas would go flying, the wine would go flying, by the time he finally was able to come back to planet Earth a little bit, right, until the point, they had another little table set up to the side. This was like a yearly occurrence. So they had the other table set up to the side, a shulchan chadash with new matzos and new kosos and a kittel, right, a new kittel, because this was completely stained. V'lavsham, and they got the Berditchever addressed again, and then he would sit down and he'd say, ah, Matzazu, matzazu, kamo misha mechayes atzmo be'ezah davar. Right, like a person who gets such chias, they hold something in the hand, this is, and he used to say, v'omer, matzazu, matzazu, matzazu. That was the Berditchever at the Seder. You can't try it, it has to be natural. There's no trying it. If that's what happens to you because you just can't control yourself otherwise, then you have a right to do it. He didn't do it so that they would write about him in biographies. Okay, another time, Pam Achas, another time, Holach Lishov Mei Be'er L'Shem Matzas Mitzvah. He went to the well to draw water for Matzas Mitzvah. Usually the way that it works with the Mayim Shalom, you take the water and then you leave it to sit overnight. So he went to draw water to make the Matzas Mitzvah. U'migodol Dveikuso Nafal Toch Be'er Samayim. And in his excitement, he mamash fell into the water. He was so eager to draw the water, he jumped in. He's toveling in the water. Ach lo hayo ason b'davar, Baruch Hashem, there was no tragedy. Ki amayim lo hayo amukim, because the water wasn't so deep. So Baruch Hashem, he survived that experience. These are descriptions of what the Berditchever looked like on the Seder night. Okay, and in preparation of the matzah. Okay? That a tzaddik has eyes to see things. Okay, let's remember two pieces that we learned. Again, one in Parshas B'Shalach, one in Parshas Bo. If you remember in Parshas Bo, I'm just going to say it outside, but if you remember the very famous, probably the most famous Pesach Torah from the Berditchever, the Kedushas Levi, the Torah about why we call the Yom Tov Pesach, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu calls the Yom Tov, in the Torah, how does the Torah describe it? How does God refer to it? Chag HaMatzos. What's the pshat? Why do we call it Pesach? Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. So if you remember the answer, in a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. Hashem praises us. For what? For leaving Mitzrayim with matzah. We didn't wait for our bread to bake. Lechtech achrei b'midbar be'eretz lozeru. We followed Hashem into the wilderness. We trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem calls it, by writing it in the Torah, Chag HaMatzos. We praise Hashem by calling it what? How do we, Lashon B'nai Adam, how do we refer to the Yom Tov? Pesach. Yeah? We say Pesach. Why do we say Pesach? Because we want to remind ourselves that Pesach Hashem ala Pesach. That Hashem had Rachmanus on us. And he passed over our homes and he was destroying the mitzvim, their firstborns, because B'ni B'chori Yisrael, because we're his true firstborn. And that's a very important aspect to realize, that on the Seder night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to sing halal to us the same way we're looking to sing halal to him. Hashem is so proud of us. Hashem looks at us as his beloved children, and we look back to Hashem and say, Hashem, it's all you. Chag HaPesach, you had such rachmanis on us. That's the word Pesach means, as we said many times. It means rachmanis. And the other one I want to remind you of is the very short piece we learned by Oz Yashir, in Parshas B'Shalach, where the Berditchever writes that the greatest time of Rachmanis, the night when Hashem is closest to Klal Yisrael, is the night of Pesach. He says there are different days. There are different times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his love to Klal Yisrael. And the time that we feel the most intense love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and his mashpia, the ultimate chesed upon us, is the night of the Seder, the Yom of the Pischa, on the days of Pesach. Okay, so just remind ourselves of those two important Torahs as we begin the Drush LePesach. Okay, we start with the first piece, Kahalach Ma'anya, the Achalu Avasana Ba'ar de Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in Egypt. V'yavuar b'zeh ma'imr chazal. Perhaps with this we can understand the teaching of our sages. Now he's going to ask a question which is a very strong question, and it's very unclear where he answers the question. So try to understand, try to figure out what the answer is. The question is a Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra says, Bizman shi Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom nikra'an banim. When we do the will of God, we are called his children. U'kesh'ein osin ritzono shel makom nikra'an avadim. And when we don't do God's will, then we're called servants. What's the question? If we don't do God's will, then we're not called avadim, we're called, I don't know, rishon, I don't know, bad Jews. If you do God's will, Hashem treats you, loves you like a son. If you don't do God's will, then you're a servant? No, you're not. You're not even a servant. You don't do anything. L'chore einu muvan. K'she'ein osin ritzono shel makom chas v'shalom, heim rishayim chas v'shalom. I would say an Eved does it because he has to. A Ben does it because he wants to. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if you do the will of Hashem, you're his child. If you don't do the will of Hashem, then what? Then you're an Eved. An Eved? You're an Eved Hashem? It's not an Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem is very loyal to Hashem. A person who doesn't do God's will is called a Rasha. God forbid. Says the Reditcher, when a person believes wholeheartedly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father, v'yesh lo tanug kishmashpia tovos al ama Yisrael, and like a parent who loves a child, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol gets pleasure from giving us things. A parent who loves a child, a parent doesn't begrudgingly buy new clothing for their child. A parent doesn't begrudgingly buy a present for their child. A parent doesn't begrudgingly buy the favorite food of their child. I love the parents spending money, the parents making effort, parents doing a lot of work, right? But they're so happy to do it. So if we believe that Hashem is our Father, so when Hashem gives us gifts, He loves that. Not just we love to be the recipients of presents from Hashem, but Hashem gets such pleasure out of giving presents to His children. When Hashem has the ability to give gifts to the Jewish people, when Hashem is able to be a kindness to the world, He loves it. And then a person feels that he's not lacking anything. And that's great. So when a Jew turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way a child turns to a parent, and if a child sincerely asks the parent, my dear mother or father, I need your help, right? Any normal parent is so happy to help. So when we ask Hashem to have Rachmanis on us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy to fulfill our desire. V'zeh remez b'pasuk, a very nice pshat in the pasuk, tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. What's the pasha pshat in that pasuk, in Parsha Shoftim? Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha means what? What do you mean, be perfect? Let's translate tamim differently. I don't like the word perfect. Be pure, innocent. I always like the word wholesome. I think it's like a nice, right? Be wholesome with Hashem, meaning what? Trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's the pasuk of Amun and Bitachon. You don't need to turn to other sources of inspiration or help. Be wholesome with Hashem. Trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Be simplistic, be innocent, be pure, be honest. Tamim tiyam Hashem lokecha. So the Berditcher says, tamim also means what? Tamim also means full. Right? Complete, tam. And ish tam doesn't only mean a simple person, it means a complete person. An ish shalim. Yaakov Avinu is an ish tam. Yaakov is called an ish tam because his life is complete. All of his children are tzaddikim. Avram is not tam. Avram has a son called Yishmael. Yitzchak is not tam. He's not wholesome. He's not complete. He has a son called Esav. Yaakov has 12 children and they're all righteous. So he's a wholesome person. Mitaso shlema, as Chazal say. His bed is perfect. All of his children that were born are perfect. Not perfect in the sense that they didn't do any of theirs. The Shvatim had their issues. But they all turned out from Jews. Baruch Hashem. So tamim tia m'shem l'kecha, says the Berditcher, tamim tia, your life will be whole, your life will be complete, you won't feel that you're lacking anything, bilti chaser shum davar, kishetia m'shem l'kecha. Tamim tia, you will be complete, not that you should be wholesome with Hashem. you should approach Hashem with innocence and sincerity. That's not what it means. That's also what it means. But the Radishiver says it also means, Tamim Tia, your life will be whole. You won't feel that your life is haphazard and I'm missing things and things aren't working out the way they're supposed to. It's not true. It's working out exactly as it's supposed to. Tamim Tia, you'll feel your life is complete. That bilti chaser shum davar, you're not missing anything. Kishetiyah em Hashem Elokecha. When you're the type of person who lives with Hashem. If God's in your life, you'll feel that I'm exactly where I need to be. Nothing is off in my life. I'm exactly where I need to be. Aval kishadam eino mamin b'zeh. But when a person doesn't believe in this, az hu chaser. Then he feels the lack. He feels the void. Ki eino osa ratzon b'Hashem yisbarach lashpia aleinu tovus. Because he blocks the channel by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to what? To give him things. V'zeo ha-remez kahalach ma'anya. And that's how we begin the Seder, recognizing how Klal Yisrael had failed to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had failed to recognize his ability to help them, and his desire to help them. Ki Yisrael b'mitzrayim hayu b'bechina ketana. In Egypt, as all the Sfarim say, it was a galus hadas, a galus hadibur, a shrinking of our intellect, our ability to speak, our ability to reason, our ability to connect, all of that was lost in Mitzrayim. V'alzeh ramzu chazal, that's what chazal say, that the matzah is what? Lechem oni, or lechem ani. Madarko shal ani beprusa. Just like an ani feels that his matzah is broken, because the ani always has to save a little piece of his bread for later, because he doesn't know if he can buy more later, doesn't have money to buy another meal, so he's always dividing his meal, so he feels that his meal is always lacking, because he's not able to eat the whole thing. His life is also a reflection of that. Ki prusa hu lashon chisar. Prusa, a piece, a slice, means what? I don't have the whole thing. So the Jews of Mitzrayim felt that void. They felt that lack. So what's the answer to our question, right? So why is a Jew who doesn't do Ratzon Hashem called an Eved? Should be called a Rasha. I guess what he's trying to say, when Jews were Avadim Ayinu, the power of Mitzrayim, the mentality of an Eved, right, the person who feels that he has a void in his life, is not being Mekayim Ratzon Hashem. Not that he's not doing mitzvos, but he's not creating a possibility for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do his Ratzon. Hashem's Ratzon is to give you everything you need. When you have a small mentality, katnus hamochin, small-mindedness, right, and you make yourself an ani, then your whole life is just a slice of the whole picture. You don't have the whole thing. But when you cling to Hashem, then tamim tiyah, then your whole life is complete. So I think the idea is, again, a child is able to keep those channels open. Not that the child is doing ratzon Hashem. Not that you're doing ratzon Hashem. That you're allowing Hashem to fulfill his ratzon of what? Of giving you things. But when you have small-mindedness, and you don't even know to ask your parent for help, or you're too embarrassed to ask your parent for help, so then you feel the void in your life. Okay, so part of getting out of Mitzrayim, of a dimayinu l'parv Mitzrayim, means getting out of that small, that feeling that I don't have everything that I need and I don't even know where to get it. Like the letter we read yesterday from Rosh Shem Pincus. You know where to get it. Turn to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, call him up, say, Dad, I'm having a tough day. Talk to Hashem that way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill his desire, which is what? Which is to help you. He wants to help you. A parent wants to help a child. I think that's what he's saying in this first piece. A little hard to understand. Okay, let's go on to the next piece. We're going to do two more pieces. And it's sort of one long mahalach, okay? The Pesach Shoel HaBen Manishtana. On Pesach, the child asks, Manishtana. Manishtana Halayla Zemikol. The question is, says the Radichever, V'lama Dafka Shoel HaBen B'Pesach V'eino Shoel B'Sukkis Manishtana. Why does the child ask his father questions on Pesach? Sukkis is also Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We left Egypt and we lived in huts. Where he lived in the Anani Akava, Achlokis and Ar Masechta, Daf Yud Aleph, Masechta Sukkah. Right? Okay, so why on Sukkot don't we have a Seder? Why don't we have a Manishtana? Why aren't we asking questions? You know what the B'Dichver used to say about Manishtana? You know this line? Ashbia quotes it all the time. The B'Dichver used to come to the Manishtana and he would say, Rabbona Sholem, do you think I have four questions? You think I only have four questions, Hashem? 4 million questions. I have so many questions on how you run the world, Hashem, throughout history. I always like to say, the last number of years, I always say to Hashem, Hashem, you think I have four questions? I have 6 million questions. I'm even Yavin. I have a lot of questions. After the Holocaust, we have plenty of questions. I have 6 million questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of questions. Right? But why is that dafka an inyan on Pesach? Why in Sukkot don't we ask Aman Hashanah? Haklal ki yesh pluta b'gemar. He says the answer is found in the Gemara's discussion about when was the world created. When was the world created? Right? Sukkot is in Tishrei. Pesach is in Nisan. Why is Nisan the time that we have the Seder? The Gemara has a machlokes. Chad amar b'nisan nivra olam. V'chad amar b'tishrei nivra olam. One opinion says the world was created in Nisan. One opinion says the world was created in Tishrei. The answer is, they're both true. Hidei yesh shnei hanhagos shakadosh baruch hu maniga olam. There's two different ways that Hashem runs His world. Ha'echad shakadosh baruch hu maniga olamo b'tuvo v'chasto agadol. Part of the creation of the world, olam chesed yibaneh, is that we don't have any merits. The world doesn't have any merits. There was really nothing forcing Hashem to create the world. And out of kindness, He created the world and showers His kindness continually upon the world. V'anhaga abeis, and the second way that God runs the world, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to good behavior. In particular, our good behavior, Klal Yisrael's good behavior. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manigas ha'olam al yidei teferes Yisrael. That Hashem guides and runs the world in accordance with the splendor and the appropriate behavior and the goodness of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mispar atzmo im amu Yisrael. That Hashem adorns Himself with the glory of Klal Yisrael. That every time we do a mitzvah, Hashem gets a lot of pride from that. Again, we don't brag about it like we learned earlier, but Hashem says, ah, gaval, the Klal Yisrael are doing good things. So sometimes Hashem just sends gifts to the world because He's nice, to say it very simplistically, and sometimes Hashem is responding, right, giving us prizes for our good behavior. V'zeo ha-remez b'pasuk. Oz yashir Moshe v'chulu es hashira hazos la-Hashem ha-remez ze-hashira atzma asher amr Yisrael. This song that we were singing, ze-hashira atzma shar v'amar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was singing it with us. What does that mean? We say as Yashir and Hashem was singing with us, it's a Shira La Hashem. That means it's a Shira that includes Hashem. Kika Kadosh Baruch Hu manigas olam al yedei teferes Yisrael as memeila ritzonim v'chefzam v'kasher yomer Yisrael kein yomer Hashem. When Hashem looks at the Jewish people and He sees the goodness of Klal Yisrael, as He saw us with the courage to walk into that water by Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem looked at us and said, wow, what a beautiful people. Okay, whatever, Nachshon jumped in first, whatever it was, but Klal Yisrael were walking, right, in an impossible place to go. And they walked with Amunah. And Hashem looks at them, and Klal Yisrael, they're singing, wow, what a gewaldic feeling that we have. And Hashem says, I'm singing right along with you. I'm so proud of you. Right? I'm able to give you more good things because I'm so proud of you. V'zeu ha-remez b'gemara. And that's what the Gemara is hinting to. Two different ways of looking at creation. Chad amar b'nisa nivra ha'olam. One opinion says the world is created in Nisan. Why? Ki ba Nisan hu anhaga, shakadosh baruch hu maniga olam al yedei teferes Yisrael. One way to look at it is say the world was really created in Nisan. He's going to explain a little more. It'll be much clearer in a few minutes. But the world is created in Nisan. Meaning, in one way of looking at how Hashem runs the world is a Nisan perspective. That Hashem responds to the behavior of the Jewish people. Lakach hayu lam Yisrael nisan v'neflos gedolos b'zeh achodesh. And because Hashem knew, right, that Nisan would be the time when Klal Yisrael would believe in Him, and they would jump into that sea, and they would leave Mitzrayim with just matzah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made miracles for us in that time. V'chad amar b'tishrei nivra olam. And the other perspective is to say that what? That the world is created in Tishrei. V'zehu hanhaga shaKadosh Baruch Hu maniga olam b'chasto agadol. V'nimtza elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And the other way to look at it is that God created the world just out of His own kindness, not in response to anything that we did. They're both true, but let's make it clear. Let's keep reading, and in the next two paragraphs it'll become much clearer. And that's what it means that the child asks on Pesach. Why on Pesach is there this inyan that the child and the father are having this give and take? Vigadat levincha. Right? Parent and child. Grandparents, if you're so lucky to have grandparents who are alive. Great-grandparents, if you're super lucky. Why is there this link, right, the relationship of families? Ki be'emez zeh shekodesh baruch hu manig olam al yedei teferes Yisrael. Because in Nisan, it's the time where we recognize the what? The relationship that we have with Hashem. Tishrei was Hashem making the world not based on anything, just because He's nice, because He likes doing chesed. In Nisan, it's a time where Hashem looks at the splendor, the glory of Klal Yisrael, and takes pride in it. Hu zeh shekodesh baruch hu mitzamtzim et asmo b'avur am Yisrael. where HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to interact with us. He brought himself into Mitzrayim to save us. V'yesh lo tanu gadol mizeh. V'zeh m'malei ritzonim v'chefsa. And Hashem gets great pleasure of the relationship that we have with us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us presents. U'ledugma zehu she'elas haben la'aviv. And it's just like a child asking a question of a father. When a kid asks a parent a question, does the parent get annoyed? That's a stupid question. Why don't you know the answer to that question? You should know that by now. When a child sincerely looks at a parent and says, you know, Ima, Abba, you know something I don't understand. Can you explain it to me? And the parent has to now bring their, let's say the parent's a big professor, yeah, a big scholar. So the parent now has to bring himself or herself down to the level of the child. But the parent's very happy to do that. Again, a healthy parent-child relationship, the parent is happy. The parent is very happy to bring the parent's mind down to the level of the child. The same way the parent is also happy to sit on the floor and play a game with the child. Right? You could have a parent who professionally is a big doctor. He does a lot of cancer research. He spends his day with breakthrough medicines and technologies and all sorts of really advanced, really smart intellectual breakthroughs. And then that same parent comes home and sits on the floor with his 3-year-old daughter and does a puzzle and sits on the floor and is happy to do so. Yeah. He's very happy to do so. I love playing magnetiles with my son. First of all, magnetiles are awesome. But second of all, even if I didn't like playing with the magnetiles myself, it's like a parent's very happy to come down to the level of the child, even if it means literally lying on the floor, sitting, Indian style on the floor, eating a cup of popcorn. And talking about childish things. The parent's very happy to do that. Ki seichel ha'av gadol miseichel ha'ben. The parent is much smarter than the child. Rak la'av as ha'av la'ben, but because the parent loves the child, mitzamsem atzmo ha'av laheshiv tshuva al kushis ha'ben. The parent doesn't say, I'm so far past that question. The parent goes back to first grade and answers that first grader's question. Hu ledugma nitzker la'el. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us on Pesach. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzim himself. He comes down to the Tumah of Mitzrayim to be able to help a very simplistic nation that's barely a nation at this point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael, he's mitzamtzim atzmo b'midos Yisrael, and he takes a great pride in doing that. He's very happy to do that. Now again, the next paragraph is the one that's going to make it really clear. Maimer HaGemara in Israel. This maimer that we mentioned above, the machlokas of Nisan versus Tishrei. Chadamer b'Nisan nivra olam, v'chadamer b'Tishrei. Nivra Olam. Again, two opinions. Was the world created in Nisan or Tishrei? So the Radichever says, I'm going to give you two perspectives on looking at creation. V'niva'er d'leka plugta b'neim. Again, there's no machlokas between these two opinions. V'yavur al derech mashal. I'll give you a simple mashal. Echad sha'asa eiza davar yesh bo shnei dvarim. When a person does something, there's two things to think about. There's what he did, and there's why he did it. The what he did is usually easy to see. The why he did it is much harder to see. You see someone doing something. What they're doing, if it's a revealed, if they're building something, you can see what they're building. Why they have a desire to build it is not always as clear. A person's building an apartment. Is he building it because he plans on renting it to make money? So is he building it because he wants to live there? Is he building it because it's an artistic design? It's not actually going to be used to live in, but it's going to be on display? As part of, he's giving a tour on different architectural structures. Why is he building this? We don't know. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world, we also didn't know why he built the world. The world was built in Tishrei. Why he built the world became clear in Nisan. Let's read it inside. A person does something. Echad ha'asiyah ve'echad ha'tam lama asake. There's the thing that the person did, and the reason he did it. Kiviyachol kishabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu esolamo. So to speak, when Hashem created the world, lo noda tama ma bara olam, we don't know why he made the world. Uve emes ikur b'yas ha'olam, he b'shvil ishtasheya ba'olamo im Yisrael. And the real reason that Hashem made the world is for Klal Yisrael, but there is no Klal Yisrael. From the beginning of time, there is no Klal Yisrael yet. So from the time the world is created, until we come to the miracles of Chodesh Nisan, of Yisias Mitzrayim, it's a little unclear. What's the point of this? There was a lot of idolatry. There was a flood in the times of Noach. There was a Migdal Bavel. There were Nimrods and Esavs and Yishmals. But what? Why did you make all of this? Until finally it became clear when the Jews left Mitzrayim. Sheyasi ritzono v'yakir gedulaso. The purpose of the world is that there should be Jews who serve him and recognize him. V'yavinu sha'kol lechvodo bara. And to recognize that all is for God's honor, to bring kavod shemayim. Aval b'shas b'riyas ha'olam adayin lo nodatam. When the world was created, it was unclear why Hashem wanted a world. Ad Nisan shiyotsu Yisrael mitzrayim. Until Nisan came, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. V'ro akol kihu elokim adon olam. And then, when the Jewish people were saved from Mitzrayim, that's why Hashem made the world. It was a long time ago Hashem made the world. It was 2,448 years earlier. No one knew for 2,448 years, why did Hashem make the world? There's a gevaldik gevard I have to just tell you. We have something called the Siddur HaGra, with writings from the Talmidei HaGra, some things quoting from the Vilna Gaon, and also there's a commentary there called Siach Yitzchak. In the Siach Yitzchak commentary, in the Siddur HaGra, the Siach Yitzchak says a gevaldik gevard. And it gives you a lot of chizik. It's been a long time since Chorban Bayis Sheni. We've been waiting for Mashiach for a really long time. And it can be really frustrating. And if you're wondering, why did Hashem let us suffer these last 1900 plus years? What's the plan here? Why do I have to wait so long for Mashiach? If you think it's strange that we've been waiting so long and that's an indication that maybe it's never going to come, so says the Siach Yitzchak, I'll remind you that from the time God created the world until he gave the world its purpose, namely the Torah, it was also 2,400 years. So don't be impatient. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a lesson in patience. Why Hashem did that is totally beyond our Hasaga. We don't know. Why Hashem didn't give the Torah to Adam HaRishon and Gan Eden is a good question. But the bottom line is, we see that God takes his time. It takes time for things to emerge. So the fact that it's been close to 2,000 years and there's no Geula yet, don't be frustrated. It takes a long time sometimes for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring things to their perfection. So the world is created in Tishrei. But we don't know, why did God make a world? I see a world, I don't know what its purpose is. Hashem takes a Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. He gives us the Torah. Now I know what he was thinking. V'ro akol ki hu elokim adon olam. V'chi hu bara kol olamos v'oso roi l'avdo. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to be his people. He wants us to be his nation. V'nimtza b'nisan nisgala tam al b'riyas ha'olam. K'dei shiyazgala elokuso ba'olam. The purpose of the world is again the revelation of God that took place in Nisan, v'zehayatam b'riyas ha'olam. And that's the relation between Tishrei and Nisan. Tishrei is the actual creation, and Nisan is when the world takes on its purpose. I'm going to stop here because it's getting late. I don't want to finish the piece right now, but I do want to just end with one comment. And that is, if you look in Tosfos, in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who also explains Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. These two opinions, Nisan and Tishrei, they're both correct. Now, I want to try to reconcile the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos with what the Kedushas Levi just told us. Because superficially, it almost looks like the opposite. Let me explain what I mean. Listen to the words of Tosfos. Right. What do we say on Rosh Hashanah? In the davening on Rosh Hashanah, Tosfos says, one of the phrases that we use is we say, Zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha. This is the day that what? That you began to create. Rosh Hashanah. This is hayom haras olam. Today is the creation of the world. And at the same time, the Torah also tells us, HaChodesh Zeh Lachem, Nisan, is the beginning of time. So, how do we understand it? Says Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, they're both true. V'ikel Meimar, listen carefully, B'tishrei Ola B'machshava Livros, V'lo Nivra Ad Nisan. Tishrei was the idea of creation, and Nisan is when God actually created. How does that fit with what we just learned in the Bereishis? That Tishrei Hashem actually created. And Nisan Klal Yisrael became the purpose of creation. So I think you could say it like this. What does it mean Tishrei is just Machshava? It means when Hashem, yes, Tishrei, like the Bereishis said, Hashem actually made the world. Right? But it was still just an idea. The world hadn't really been created yet. It was still the Machshava. Hashem still had an idea. I'm trying to do something here. When did the world become Lamaisa? Not in the sense that it was only created in Nisan. It was created in Tishrei. Lamaisa was created in Tishrei. Hayom haras olam. Zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha. Right? We're saying that it's created. The tefilos of Rosh Hashanah say the world exists. So why is Rabbeinu Tam saying Tishrei was a machshava? Because it meant that it was a hazy idea. When you get to Nisan, says Rabbeinu Tam, that's when it's really created. In the sense that now it has a purpose. The fact that something exists without a purpose is just, it's a machshava, it's a dimyon. It's not real. So I think that's how you can reconcile Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos with what the Berditcher is telling us here, what the Kedushas Levi is telling us. That in Tishrei, yes, there was a physical creation, but it was still an idea of creation. When did the idea become Lamaisa? That was when Hashem made a Klal Yisrael. And when was Klal Yisrael made? In Chodesh Nisan. So Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. They both invoke that phrase, that both opinions are correct, but you need to understand how to put the two pieces together. So Mirtz Hashem, we should feel the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these days. This Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. We have the schus to enter into the beloved days of Chodesh Nisan. We don't say Tachta. It's a time where we feel the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chesed and the kindness and the relationship that we have with Him as Avos Ubanim. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha as we learn these Torahs to mamish feel it. Not to only know it intellectually, but to mamish feel it b'kirbeinu and b'kirbi. Okay.
Smechava.